Good morning. It's the 8th of January. Our first reading today is Genesis 15 and 16. I'm going to read to you once again from Brother Harry Whittaker's book, and this is a continuation of what we thought about yesterday. Abraham was still at Jerusalem, and probably at Melchizedek's sanctuary there, when there came to him further guidance in this strange life to which he had been called. His blunt rejection of fellowship with the king of Sodom would be received like a slap in the face. It may be taken as certain that from this day forward Sodom was an avowed enemy. So the word of the Lord brought reassurance. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The hostility of this neighbour whom he had helped need be no cause for anxiety. It is a pointed lesson for those who find themselves estranged from relations, colleagues, or friends because of their faith. Neither need Abraham fear the loss of material benefits through his recent stout refusal to share in the plunder of war. I am thy exceeding great reward. So Abraham asked for that which was nearest his heart, the fulfilment of the earlier promise of a son. Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Eliezer of Damascus, his faithful steward, was the only one to whom he could bequeath his already considerable wealth. How could his line continue? Might it be that God intended him to adopt Eliezer as his son, so that the promises might be fulfilled through him? The answer was no. He that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. The bewildered faith of Abraham needed reassurance, but the stiffener to his faith which God gave was, at first, only a repetition of the promise in its most difficult form. He brought him forth abroad. The mental picture of Abraham being led out of the sanctuary by the priest is probable. Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. The narrative suggests a pause here, whilst once again, with new vision, Abraham surveyed the familiar, awe-inspiring planetarium of God. So shall thy seed be. Here was reassurance that God's promise was neither in abeyance nor forgotten. Against all present prospects, his purpose in Abraham would surely mature. He who could fashion so many worlds of wonder, set in the depths of space, countless light years away, had no need of hurry in the outworking of his plan. These stars, which Abraham could not begin to count, were all his, God's, counted and known individually by their names, as we are told in Psalm 147. He, the shepherd of this docile heavenly flock, had brought forth this host by number. He called them all by name. So Abraham could not say, must not say, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. So shall thy seed be. In the earlier blessing in chapter 13, Abraham had been promised a seed like the dust of the earth for number. The change of figure now was no mere literary variation, but a significant addition to revealed truth. Here was not only an earthly natural seed of Abraham, but also a heavenly community who should be his as being his spiritual seed and heirs. The promises of God included both, as Paul clearly recognised and expounded in later years in, for example, Romans chapter 9. The idea of the promise was grasped readily enough by Abraham, and against all innate improbability it was firmly accepted. Abraham believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him for righteousness. Thank you for listening.